morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're joined by Congressman Steve Cohen. So thank you very much for being here. And a few remarks here to let everybody know, of course, who you are. Steve graduated from Vanderbilt and went to University of Memphis Law School. He served in the Tennessee Senate for 18 years.
24 years.
24 years.
Yeah, don't take that. I'll explain that in a minute.
I know. I think, yes, bifurcation in there. That's what seasoned him to come to the Congress in 2007. And since then has been one of the most vocal advocates for marijuana law reform in the Congress. And as Russ was interviewing him, he acknowledged that one place you can find Steve readily almost any week is on YouTube when Congress is in session, because over the last three or so years, his exchanges with folks from the DEA, the Drug Czar's Office, NIDA, and just this past Tuesday with a Milwaukee sheriff are all on YouTube. Steve asked a question of the sheriff that a lead-in question, as you would say, as a lawyer, is it not true that marijuana does not contribute to the degradation of neighborhoods and society like hard drugs do, like cocaine and methamphetamine? And the law enforcement officer disagreed with him, and Steve just laughed. He just absolutely laughed in his face, and that kind of demonstrates both the frustration, I think, and the chutzpah of acknowledging that these policies just don't work anymore. And in D.C., in Congress, because these policies, the reform of marijuana is so big and it touches so many different institutions, I myself personally don't think it's going to happen without some degree of a commission. And commissions in Congress is kind of the equivalent of CYA. So think of this as CCYA, Congressional Cover Your Ass. And Steve, I think, is sort of the progenitor of this idea, and I've sort of come up with this alliteration. I've always kept my head of the Cohen Commission on Cannabis and Commerce. One of the bills I don't think introduced in this session, which was introduced previously, were bills from Steve on a commission, a congressionally mandated commission to look at marijuana. And I think this is an excellent roll of the dice, because there have been 14 previous commissions in Occidental society whether or not marijuana should or should not be decriminalized. Every single one, including the Schaefer Commission in 1972, said we should decriminalize it. So I think it's an excellent political risk on your part to put it out there. We have a normal Board of Directors award for you, which I don't think will win you one more vote in Memphis that you don't already have, but I think if you lead the charge to get marijuana legal in the United States, you will never have to buy a doobie, a dab, or a dosed Little Debbie in your life.
Thank you very much. Thank you. David Letterman, please sit down. Thank you. I miss Dave.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. I want to thank you for the award, and thank you all for being here. It has been a long time coming. I've known Keith for almost 35 years, maybe,
yeah.
Doing things in Memphis. And it has been a long time tumble journey from the west side of the park. Coming to the Congressional Auditorium and meeting with Normal, and having y'all introduced as normal people rather than Abby Normal, is really great. I reference back to what Alan said about 18 years, and this is kind of a funny story. One of my best friends in my life was Warren Zevon, and we were like best pals for about the last 5-6 years of his life. And Warren introduced me to several different people over the years that have become my friends. One of them was Michael Wolff. Michael is a jazz pianist and head of the Tourette's Association or group that comes up here and lobbies some, so I help them. Michael's wife is Polly Draper, who was an actress, was in 30-something and a great actress. Now it's ironic, it's a weird thing just about life. They're great people in their own right. Michael's this phenomenal pianist and composer, and Polly's a great actress and what all, they're terrible. But they've got two kids, Nat and Alex. I've seen them since they were like, you know, whatever. And they're big stars now. You might not know them because they're not in our, you know, age world, but they're great big stars, and they do movies, and Nat gets credits, and they're like 19 and 17. And they had a band called the Naked Brothers that was like Ricky Nilsson and Dave Nilsson on Nickelodeon. And I'd go to schools in Memphis, and it'd be third graders and second graders, and say, y'all know the Naked Brothers. Oh, and they all knew the Naked Brothers. Well, I knew the Naked Brothers, so I was cool. So Polly comes up here one day to give me an award for Tourette's syndrome advocacy. And Polly says, I've known Congressman Cohen through Warren Zevon for many years, and we called him then Senator Steve. And but before he came here, before he became a congressman, he served 24 years, not 18, 24 years, in the Tennessee State Penitentiary. This is from a brilliant A student, actress, brilliant. And I guess she did the play that the Innocence Project put on. What was it called? It was the Exonerated.
Yeah.
And she was in that play. And in that play, a lot of the characters come on and they go, you know, Keith Stroud served 36 years in the Texas State Penitentiary and was exonerated with DNA. So I guess she just had that in her mind, Tennessee State Penitentiary. It's 24 years. I thank you for this award. You're right. It won't get me a vote. But it will be an award that I accept with pride, and I will put it with the other awards that I have received, which are prominently displayed, that also don't get me any votes, but that I value. The ACLU Award, the Planned Parenthood Award, Human Rights Commission Award. In fact, one year in Tennessee, this was back, I think, Howard Dean was about to run for president, but nobody knew who he was. So I guess we're talking 2003, maybe. And Howard Dean had come to Nashville to speak to the Human Rights Campaign. He was getting an award for national stuff, and I was getting an award for state stuff. And that year, many years earlier, I got the ACLU Bill of Rights Award. But I said, which is true, that I'm not only the only state senator in Tennessee to get the ACLU Bill of Rights Award and the Human Rights Commission Award, but I was the only legislator who would have accepted either award. So this award will go with those, and they're ones that I'm very proud of, because this is why I should be in Congress. It gives me an area that I'm too familiar with as far as people being arrested and stigmatized and losing rights and having to hire lawyers for smoking marijuana, which should not be the case. And we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. It's an issue, I think it was Dana Rourke, might have been Dana, might have been somebody else. Well, somebody, it wasn't Dana, but one of the guys I knew that was a Republican and came up to me one day and he said, if you had one bill, might have been Daryl Issa, and he said that you could work on it and make it your legacy, what would it be? And I thought for a minute, we're in the floor of the House, and I said it'd be legalization or decriminalization of marijuana. And of course, he gave me a, he said, well, I think I'd pick something a little easier. We've come a long way since then, and it's not that difficult. So it's going to take still more time. We had one vote this year, and the vote was on the VA physicians being able to talk to their patients about medical marijuana, or marijuana, I guess, in general. And it failed by about five votes, and there were about four or five votes, whatever.
Three
votes is all it was, and there were four or five Democrats who didn't vote for it. And maybe it was six, and I probably shouldn't have done this, but I did it. It wasn't my bill, it was Blumenauer's bill, and Earl's been good on this issue. He's been great on the issue. But Earl, it's tough to do it because you got so many members. He said he worked on Republicans more than he worked on Democrats for the bill. So I went up and kind of did a little post-game analysis with some of these folks. Kennedy, I think it was because of his cousin Patrick. Mm-hmm. And Patrick is just, you know, he's got a problem, and Patrick can't. His problem, he wants to exert to everybody else and make it their problem. You know, I talked to him, and he said, well, it's a tough issue, and he kind of hemmed and hawed, and I gave him a little grief, and he might come around on something, I'm not sure. Keating was a prosecutor, and Keating's a friend, and he was a prosecutor, and I guess that's part of it, but Keating said, well, we don't prosecute people for marijuana in Massachusetts anyway. and that's per possession. Well, I don't know if that's right or not, but the bottom line is, this was not about that. This was about VA doctors talking to guys that have gone and seen people spill their guts. And they can't talk about marijuana. Crazy. They said, well, it's illegal according to the federal board. Sandy Levin and I had a goodly discussion, and it continued on to another point. I think Sandy got a little confused, because Sandy came up and I talked to him, and he made a point of saying, I'm for medical marijuana. I'm okay on medical marijuana. I'm not for legalizing it. I don't know, we've studied enough to know what how it affects children's brains. And I said, but Sandy, you realize children shouldn't be seen, nor heard, nor smoke marijuana, nor drink alcohol, nor have sex. It's not about children. But I don't think he realized that VA bill was about medical marijuana, and he's just made a mistake, and it's just a shame. Kennedy Keating, excuse me. Kennedy Keating may come around. And who else do we miss? We missed, the other one was Garamendi. And Garamendi was working another appropriations amendment. He said he just screwed up. Yep. He just screwed up. So it's a shame. Levin screwed up. Garamendi screwed up. And they were straight.
How do you know that?
So we came close. I think the next thing to come up probably is going to be the amendment that I'll be on with Dana. And is it Sam Farr, maybe? I know it's Sam. Yeah. On DEA staying out of states that have legalized it. That we got a goodly chance to pass. Probably will in the House. Last time I think we had 230-something. There'll be other appropriations amendments that we'll have. Bills will be tough because it's tough to get a chairman to have a hearing or a vote in the House. I don't think Goodlatte is a likely prospect for that. Maybe somebody on Energy and Commerce could do it, and some of the bills could go to those committees instead. But it's getting to be more accepted. Democrats, it's pretty good. We don't have everybody, but we're coming along. Republicans, there's still a difference in the way Republicans and Democrats look at these issues. While states' rights are strong with Republicans, and fiscal conservativeness and not spending a bunch of money incarcerating people is important, they are not. Their districts still have frowned upon decriminalization or legalization, and kind of they go back to the reefer madness stuff, a lot of their folks. And so it's more difficult for them politically. And some of them just, you know, haven't evolved enough. They're in a different world. But we're making progress. So I thank you for this. I'd like to answer any questions you might have, because I'm sure I didn't cover some subjects. And if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And I thank you for this award. Yes, sir. Would you tell me where you're from?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My name is Ron Lockhart, and I'm from Boca Raton, Florida.
Lucky you. I'm going to Palm Beach tonight. Yeah. Good.
My question is, I just heard this morning, that obviously Michelle Leonhard is now out at the DEA, and somebody named Robinson, I believe, is...
No, it's not Robinson. It's a Jewish name.
Rosenberg.
And I have to admit, I'm Jewish. So when I saw his name, I thought... Yeah, maybe there's a chance, but there's some Nazi Jews too.
he was quoted in, I think it was the LA Times, that he wanted to shake up marijuana, that he had some ideas of changing it. Do you think there's any chance that the DEA would reschedule it to a Schedule II drug?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I've been pushing the president on that. I went to Valerie Jarrett, to McDonough, and to the president, and I said, I've got your policy for next year. Of course, there are other things maybe more important, right. And that's for him to focus on. And I picked, just like Alan did, the four C's, I picked the three C's. Cannabis, commutations, and Cuba. Mm-hmm. And it made it simple. And cannabis has been there, and rescheduling, and we write the president, you know, fairly frequently. Right. And, his head's in the right place. It just, the administration has not been able to put into practice what they believe. Right. And that's been the same problem on commutations. They haven't issued many commutations. They want to issue commutations. They know a lot of people that for crack cocaine disparity shouldn't be in prison. But they've set up this convoluted process they can't get through. And there was a story in the Post just 2 days ago about the lady who's second in command. She's from Georgia. And she's how they've got this program to get people commutations, and they want to do it, but she said the process just hasn't been too slow. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, these guys are being warehoused and they're rotting away. And they're,
right.
But so I hope he'll do it.
Right.
I just don't know. We tried to research him and see if he had any history. We couldn't find much about him. If he's well thought of, I guess, as a prosecutor. He was clean. I don't know what his positions were. And he's a bright guy.
Right.
And he's an MOT.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, sir.
Congressman, I hope I'm...
You're from?
Colorado. I moved to Denver about 2.5 years ago. One of the refugees I'm working with involved in this conversation around cannabis. Colorado's exploring that beyond just medical. So my question is, thank you. I mean, we are evolving around this topic of medical marijuana, but the reality now is we have an experiment in 4 states with recreational, so we've even evolved beyond that. So the question is, you know, is that going to make it even harder now to convince more members of Congress to come on board, or do you think this might actually help us evolve the conversation even further and give
people... What do you mean? Because there's now recreational marijuana states?
Yeah, it goes past. Medical marijuana was always seen possibly as a trap that we would get stuck. You're talking rescheduling. We need to talk descheduling.
Well,
Schedule 2 would shut down everything we're doing in Colorado because very few of these businesses would meet that pharmacy standard that would be required to make sure you're bringing products through medical testing and then into the market. So
well,
two,
my understanding is Schedule 2 would help with medical testing, at least maybe on Charlotte's Web.
Testing, but what would it do to the production that's occurring at the moment, and would that production fit a standard of medical grade product?
It wouldn't be worse than Schedule 1, would it?
It'd be better than Schedule 1.
Right.
But may create a scenario where we have to reinvent some of this again.
Yeah, might have new regulations.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, like you say, be scheduled, just like Letterman shows, be 6,029. But the next one, but you get what you can get, and it'd be great if the White House would do it, but if the White House did it, and the Attorney General said it should be scheduled 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, Congress could turn around and pass a law and change it.
You have to, though. They can make the act, but you have to then change it to revert back.
Well, there's a difference of opinion on that whether we'd have to do it or not, but we could change the law if the Attorney General reclassified it, which he could do. Then we could still change the law after he did it.
Sure.
So it could go back and forth. You know, I don't know what this, it's gonna take a while. I think our best chances with this president, you know, I'm for Hillary Clinton because she's gonna be the Democratic candidate right on most all the issues, but she hadn't been good on marijuana, and it's bizarre. You need to, it's amazing, you have to work on it. I mean, she should have it.
Absolutely.
Holding a fundraiser for my house in Denver, there's no way to hide it. We're doing our part.
How long it took her to get behind gay rights?
Right.
It took her a long time.
Publicly.
Right.
Well, there are politicians who
time
act from the gut,
right.
And there are politicians who act based on the polls.
Right.
And,
exactly.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. Good morning, Congressman. I want to thank you for all the awesome work you've been doing for our cause. My question is, is there any conversation going on with your colleagues about protecting the rights of medical patients traveling from state to state? And any protections also being discussed about people traveling from legal state to legal state, as far as recreational and medicinal?
Best of my knowledge, none whatsoever. The only thing I know on is the crazy lawsuit that the states that border Colorado filed to say that it was hurting them and they had some kind of standing. You know, it's funny that you say that because we had a bill on guns and right to carry bills. I sponsored the right to carry bill in Tennessee and passed it in the 90s. I think if you can pass a test and you don't have a criminal background or been mental institutionalized and you can hit the target and okay. And those people have not caused problems in society. But I put some strong standards in there and said you had to be, I believe what we said is you had to be 21 to get a gun permit. Now some states say you only have to be 18. We said 21. The House passed a bill that said if you had a gun permit in one state and you went to another state, that state had to recognize the gun permit of the other state. So in essence, if you got a gun permit in Alabama and you're 18, and you come to Tennessee, you can carry a gun if you're 18. But you can't if you're a Tennessean because of our law, and that their law trumps our law. Well, you'd think with the Republican idea of states' rights, they wouldn't be for it. But it's like, guns trump everything. And so that issue's come up, traveling around states with guns, but it hadn't come up with marijuana, but it's a good argument. and it makes a lot of sense, but it has not come up, and I've not heard it at all. Alan, have you heard it at all being discussed?
No, in terms of a bill being introduced, there are state laws that protect individuals that go state. The TSA has a standing memo that if you travel with cannabis and you can prove that you're a medical patient, they'll largely let you go through, but they don't, they busted some people with 4 ounces of marijuana, but people with 2 ounces and an ounce of hash get through. So it's not clear.
Does it depend on whether the TSA based that on if it's legal in the state where they're doing it?
Yeah, so all those airports in the Colorados and Washingtons and Maines of the world, those TSAs have a standing order to only look for explosives and guns and sharp devices and let the marijuana go through if it doesn't look like it's packaged for resale, et cetera.
You know, we should put in, and Ben, you're here, tell Matt, you know, I didn't realize we hadn't put our commission bill in, and we need to do that. That should go in this year, and we should get that done. And secondly, we might ought to do a bill, and maybe it's the expansion, because we're on the Charlotte's Web bill with a Republican from Pennsylvania, I believe it is, to allow folks who have Charlotte's Web to travel. And if they have, if it's the cannabinoids only, that they should, because we had a little girl in my district named Chloe Grauer died. She was 3 and she had epileptic seizures. And I visited her home. Her parents, I knew her father, kind of, he was a bartender around town, but the family's basically Republican. The grandmother's nice lady, Republican, but she, blah, blah, blah. They saw what happened with their granddaughter, and they were going to go to Colorado, and they got the letter from Colorado that somebody would get them marijuana, and they were going to go to Colorado and get it and risk bringing it home for her, and she died the next day. So I mean, the cannabinoids is a serious issue. I understand if you pass the cannabinoids, it takes kind of some of the oomph away, but you know, we've got Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah.
The research just gets stymied by the scheduling, and that's one of the problems, and we've talked and talked and talked about that, and we just, that's a problem. So the rescheduling of marijuana would be a major gateway or opening for the research. And the cannabinoids are, you know, that's phenomenal for kids. And as far as the rest of it, and this is another reason why normal, go back and give you a little story. Some of y'all might have heard it when I've talked on the floor. I had this great friend named O.J. Mitchell. And O.J., you probably met O.J. Keith. He lived at Ira's house for a while back in the 70s. Yeah. He was from D.C., and he was a Navy SEAL, Vietnam, and tough guy. And he died of pancreatic cancer in 1995. Now, it wasn't legal or anything, but I came up here and visited him in Bethesda. And he was this guy, he weighed a couple hundred pounds, tough, strong guy. And worked on the oil rig boats off of service, their oil rigs off of Louisiana, and come back to Memphis, but anyway. And his mother, who was like 80-something, she said, "Thank God for the marijuana. It's the only thing that makes Oral eat or smile." And how can you argue against something that the guy's dying? He was emaciated down to 130 pounds, and his mother says it's the only thing, thank God, that lets him smile or eat. And he was the head of Normal at the Memphis State chapter. He was about 40 years old, and he swore he would not date any upperclassmen because he wanted to keep tradition. Yes, sir.
I'm Robert. I'm from Long Island, New York. I was wondering, since people who use medical marijuana legally are still considered to be prohibited persons for purposes of the Gun Control Act by the federal government, has there been any discussion of maybe trying to make it so this way people who use legal medical marijuana are not considered ineligible to buy a firearm?
Well,
any talk of that?
I think there's been some discussion, but I think the main thing there is it's mostly state laws. Now, I know the ATF has your rules too, but it's state laws that govern right to carry. And I would think it's pretty much, you know, up to state law on that. The ATF may have some regulations I'm not thinking about.
Well, the federal act that does it is the Gun Control Act of 1968, and that just lays out the raw things that make you a prohibited person, like being a convicted felon, being someone who uses illegal narcotics, which for the federal government.
I think that's going to be a long, you know, it's going to be a real leap. And to start talking guns and marijuana, and while I'm okay on, you know, right to carry, I don't think that's an issue we. That's going to be for somebody in the generation beyond me to deal with. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Lisa Padilla. I am also from New York. I'm interested in finding out about banking. I don't understand why Congress hasn't been proactive in terms of permitting banks to accept registered organizations in various states to open up bank accounts.
Well, there are bills to do it. I think Perlmutter's one of the, they got the bill in Colorado and all.
Right.
And it's part of our CARES bill, but it just.
It just hasn't, who can we visit, who can, we can help you get the votes to be able to.
The
to
bankers.
Well, the bankers say that it's Congress.
Well, but the bankers could make Congress act.
Because they're lobbyists. Yeah, they're lobbyists.
Yeah, because you know what they got?
Lobbyists.
Money.
So you really think it's the issue is the bankers are just reluctant for some reason?
Well, I think they could help. I don't think it's that necessarily they're an impediment, but I think that's the people that have got the oomph that would benefit, mm-hmm. and they need to get them involved.
Right. It just doesn't make sense because the banks, I would think, would be making money from having these accounts. And
it prevents crime because people aren't toting around a bunch of cash.
But apart from that, you could pay your taxes faster if you have a bank account.
It all makes sense.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a difficult subject for people to get onto. Some people fright, you know, you vote for something and they'll say you're for marijuana, and even if it's just for banking, and people think, oh, it's a bad thing and we want to keep it illegal, so they don't want to touch it. But it's got to. I would think if the bankers got behind it in the committees, they could make it happen.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
We're meeting with reps today. I'm Mitch Earlywine. I'm also from New York. And I'm just curious if you had any coaching for us about talking to our representatives or their staff.
Well, just let them know how many, if you have any polling for their districts, be great. If you can talk, if the Republicans, talk to them about states' rights and talk to them about fiscal conservativeness and that stuff, and just, you know, but, you know, go to your market and tune your argument to who your customer is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And ask them to sign on to the CARES bill if they would.
Yeah.
Kevin Mamology, National Outreach Coordinator for Normal. Currently live in Colorado. Kind of piggyback off of what the ladies that were bringing up about the banking issue. It seems incredible, like there's an incredible disconnect with Congress on this issue, because, you know, as you know, the Coleman memo that was issued called for strict and tight regulations in these states that pursue recreational marijuana. And with states like Colorado, for example, they experienced $461 million in sales in 2014 alone. Doesn't that play into the Cole memo's desire to see a tightly regulated market? I mean, I don't think that we should necessarily say that bankers aren't behind it, therefore it shouldn't happen, because it poses a tremendous amount of public safety risk.
I don't say bankers are against it. I just think if they got for it, they would have the lobbying clout to maybe make it happen.
Right.
And you know, all the arguments you make sense. But the Schaefer Commission made sense in 1972. It was policy-wise, but Nixon and his guys knew that politically they wanted to whoop up on, you know, tough on crime and the inner city and blacks. So they didn't care about what made sense.
Right.
And I forget, I saw something recently, and probably I should have known it, but it was something like, you can't argue logically with somebody who's, you know, illogical. And, you know.
If I will, it's the director's prerogative on the mention of the Schaefer Commission. In a meeting one time at Congressman Cohen's office, we were talking about, you know, the commission and how it came about, and some of the staff, we were asking them if they knew about the audio recordings in Nixon's office when Governor Schaefer came to deliver the news of the executive summary saying, we're going to come out in favor of decriminalization. And Mr. Nixon goes off on this incredible anti-Semitic tangent, going after a conspiracy of Jewish psychiatrists, which then Steve's going through his desk and he pulls out the photograph from a previous era of a debonair older man and says, like my father, a Jewish psychiatrist, who was a prominent psychiatrist and professor at University of Miami. So, yes.
Who was it, Holloman or Ehrlichman? It was one of the
Ehrlichman was in the room being berated to, ironically.
That was amazing to hear those. We used that you're talking to Leonard. And I think that the fellow that the drugs are now, from Massachusetts,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
You know, he might be better. And I think after the hearing, he came up and it was almost like a whipped dog. And it was kind of like he wanted to say, you're right and I'm sorry, but he couldn't say it because of his position.
He's a good man and he's in recovery. He's definitely more humanistic than any drug czar we've had previously.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all have any people that can get to talk to, you know, the new attorney general has got a bad position too.
Yeah.
Is there any way that they can talk to Obama? Do y'all have somebody that's a major contributor that can say, hey, Soros?
Yeah. The Soros contingency definitely has the strongest influence about where major Democratic politics are moving. And these are planks now. California, the Democratic Party has as its plank legalization. So this is getting institutionalized.
Is Soros mostly the Drug Policy Alliance? Is that his? Yeah, that's his deal.
Yeah.
But that's, the president could do it, and it's just crazy. And he can do commutations and not have anybody say he's overreaching, and he doesn't do it.
We're going to have the Koch brothers do it.
Yes, sir.
Kevin Oliver of Washington State. Any rumors of tax reform, 280E tax reform, so that businesses that are following the full memo in recreational marijuana space get business deductions?
I think there's a bill to that effect.
There is.
And, you know, I don't know where it stands. And you know, again, it's just like everything else. There may be just a floodgate one day and everything passes. Just need to work on it. And who's the sponsor? Is it Perlmutter?
Yeah, for 280. Yeah.
Can you maybe be a co-sponsor on that?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm fine on it, yeah. I mean, I'm.
Yeah, you'd be a co-sponsor.
Yeah, I'm going to be a co-sponsor. I, you know, I'm good on all that stuff. I'm, no problem. I've crossed the Rubicon. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Vic Dunn. The city actually wrote an article on the SBA for the DuPont for our community research recently last semester. It wasn't the same citizens, but that survey the citizens, they don't like the police because it's like a law against it. It's making the screens. Put a purchase on family. I'm kind of really popular. My grandchild was my baby. My daughter's baby dad was locked up. And in addition, I'm also networked with the Fraternal Order of Police. And basically, it's they need to leap and lead two new policing groups, the law enforcement against prohibition, because the police are saying it don't work, it's costing them their lives, it's costing them waste time with petty stuff when they really need to work on real criminals. And then there's another group called LEAD that's really starting to sprout out, which is what we really need across America. It's law enforcement assisted diversion. It's where the government, the police, the social services, business people go together to help people get back on their feet, whether it's any drug deal or whatever. We're tired of being treated as criminals. If they want to treat us, then give us an option to treat some as patients and let's see it through. But this prohibition is a law that never should have been. It was the corporations that basically changed the thinking of politicians here for their own benefit, which is hurting our land, hurting our people, and it's time to stop.
I got you.
And so,
thank you for your work. Thank you for your work. One last question.
Right here. Hi. My name is Rob Ryan from Blue Ash, and my congressman is Brad Winstrup, Dr. Brad Winstrup. Is any advice on bringing so-called the Nixons to China kind of movement to get the Republicans to actually move? Any suggestions you might have?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Where's your home?
Cincinnati. So Dr. Brad Winstrup is my congressman, and he multiple times has said, yeah, Rob, you're right. You know, there's medical use, blah, blah, blah. And he, you know, continues to send these nonsense letters back. You know what I mean?
But I haven't met him. Is he first term or second term?
He's, I think he's second term now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him, and I don't know how to get in. Shabbat's a better, you know, pretty good guy.
Yeah, I've met him a couple times. My suggestion, they talked about LEAP, the acting police superintendent from Chicago, McCarthy, is excellent. He's not LEAP, but you know he should be. And he came down to Cincinnati and drew a direct line from the war on drugs to the poor community relationships, which Governor Kasich kind of made a task force for that shooting in Beaver Creek at the Walmart with the gun.
Well, Chicago, didn't they just have a referendum in Cook County or the policy change on marijuana?
Yeah. But he's the acting police superintendent, and he's speaking very clearly.
Well, thank you for the award very much, and I appreciate your activism.